He is one of our regulars on this show. We always love chatting with him. Bernie Kosar. Bernie, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Ready for the big 4th of July week.
Yeah, that is a fun thing. I'm looking forward to it as well. Bernie, let's talk some Browns. One of the topics that is at least murmuring in the background regards the fact that the quarterback of this team, or expected to be this quarterback of this team, Brandon Whedon, hasn't got his contract done yet. There's been some reports of whatever the hang-ups are in getting this done. But, Bernie, I look at the calendar, and I'm seeing July 2nd here, and I know training camp doesn't open until the end of this month. I think there's plenty of time to get a deal done, and I'm really confident one is going to get done, even if I don't know the ins and outs of all of the negotiations at this point.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Vic. You know, a lot's made of it. What's today, July 1st? So
second.
you're basically a month away. These next couple weeks are quiet type weeks. And it will get worked out, mainly because both sides have a lot to gain / a lot to lose by it not working out. Brandon Whedon wants to be in camp. He wants to learn the offense. I just know from a quarterback perspective, you never want anybody else in your huddle. And once practice starts, once the meetings start, you're going to want to be there. You're going to want to be learning. And both sides want that to happen. You know, a lot's being made of how, because of the collective bargaining agreement, because of that CBA, because of the rookie wage scale, for lack of a better phrase, that you're, do you guarantee the fourth year or how much of it or part of it? And that tends to be what the hang-up is. But if you're a winning quarterback, you won't even see the fourth year of your contract. You'll get a new one by then.
Right, right. And that's the thing. In listening to Brandon Whedon discuss this publicly, just hearing whatever he's had to say about it, and then just being around him in Berea for the past several weeks, I mean, I just get the drift that he understands the business of this game, not only from, you know, what has to go on in a negotiation, but more importantly, understanding that he has to be here and not miss a snap. The snaps are so precious, and he, I think he would know that he doesn't want to put himself in a bad spot by missing any time. The way most of these deals have been done lately with regard to the CBA's structure of rookie wage scale, you just don't see the holdouts. You just don't see people who miss any training camp time.
Yeah, it's actually been great for us fans, this new CBA, because you don't see the holdouts. And it's definitely not in any quarterback's interest who wants to play in September to miss snaps at late July, early August. So a holdout isn't really in anyone's interest because it puts you so far behind when it comes into installation. A lot of times, too, and again, I hate to keep saying, okay, when I played, when I was going through this, because it's been so long now.
But that's your point of reference.
But it is a point of reference, and I just remember that the money, yeah, you talk about the business of it, yeah, you talk about how you want to do it, but it really didn't matter. It was my family and my friends and agents and people around me. They wanted the guaranteed money because that guaranteed them compensation. You know, I was so consumed, so preoccupied with just wanting to be a good football player, wanting to let Ozzie Newsome and Clay Matthews know that I deserved to be the leader on this team, that I deserved to be in that huddle, that I just wanted my success to come from playing football. And I was so preoccupied with that. I see the same thing in Brandon Whedon. I see the same thing in Colt McCoy, that, yeah, there's a business side of it, but yet that's more for the peripheral. That's more so your family, your friends, the people that actually take your money, as opposed to yourself, because you're too busy wanting to play football and lead a football team.
Sure.
And I see that in these kids.
The other thing, Bernie, is Trent Richardson, the other Browns first-round pick, also trying to get a deal done for him. But the other point I want to make about Trent is what he demonstrated in the way of maturity with regard to comments. He was asked about what Jim Brown had said about him being ordinary, and he's at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, really the touchstone place between, you know, the Browns running back of the present and the Browns running back of the past, the great Hall of Famer Jim Brown. And handling that, I think, with great class and a sense of maturity that you love to see with a kid that young.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I don't think there's anybody that's played in the league that you could say is head and shoulders better than Jim Brown. He's not only a great Cleveland Brown, he's a great guy to have been in my life, to have been in the NFL, to have played for the Browns. He's had such an impact on and off the field, and what he's done post-career with his acting and with what he's done in the inner city has been just awesome. So, I mean, from that standpoint, for Trent to, you know, and I think he took some criticism from him, but handled it so professionally, so mature, and a kid who I think wants to show that he wants to show he belongs in the huddle, that he belongs in that kind of conversation, and because he's a rookie and because he hasn't done it yet, I think he wants to show it and let his actions on the field show it. And his comments are just perfect, and I really look forward to seeing how he handles the regular season games, because he certainly has handled the hype and the preseason and the draft-type stuff exceptional.
Bernie Kosar is our guest, a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Bernie, if I had, I don't want to say a nickel, I might even go less than that, but let's call it a nickel, for every person who has been asking via our social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, where they ask and then offer comments that we air on this show about the wide receiver situation and complaining that, you know, not enough was done to fix it, to get it right, that it's going to be a problem area, so on and so forth. Just hearing that discussion, I think I could retire. I mean, I think there's that much that it's been that many times. So I'm not retired yet, but because we don't have this nickel relationship going on with this question, but I want to pose it to you. When I hear that brought up and I answer it, I mean, I answer it with a faith that the quarterback situation will be better with Whedon, the running back situation better with Richardson, the line gets better with having Mitchell Schwartz and younger guys in the interior growing up. And I just think all of those can elevate everything about the offense, including the receivers. And oh, by the way, Travis Benjamin comes into the mix, and I think he can help as well.
Well, that is the kind of the team/offense million-dollar question. And I'm an optimist, and I do believe that you develop a lot of maturity between your first and second year. Greg Little led the team in receptions, didn't play his last year in North Carolina. His first year back last year, I think he had 67 catches, plus or minus. And learning how he was a running back most of his life, and he's starting to learn the receiver thing. I think his maturity and growth to being a leader, a dominant number one receiver with Trent Richardson, I really like our offensive line. And a good offensive line incredibly helps the passing game. Gives that quarterback that extra half a second and that extra count to kind of throw the ball, to work the coverage. Definitely is something that helps in a positive way, try to get that right. So that'll be the question. Look, these guys have had some rough last year or two. They're going to have to show it on the field. But I do think with the line situation, with the running back situation helping, that's going to help the receiver situation also.
Yeah, you would. I mean, that's, I guess that's the part, and you can take us back to when you played on this one. You had some good target, really good target. You had a great target. You had a Hall of Famer at tight end in Ozzie Newsome. You had other receivers who were playmakers. But it's that relationship also, right, Bernie? I mean, it's putting the ball where they can catch it. It's getting it out on time. Those things matter with receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Timing and accuracy and trying to fit it in there. And I was talking last week, the Browns, we had an event out at out on the east side, and me and Brandon were kind of going over plays, going over concepts, and throwing the comeback versus eight in the box, throwing the fade, throwing the takeoff versus press coverage, throwing the middle read, throwing the deep fade versus cover two. Those types of throws that significantly stretch the field open up things for other players, and it opens up the offense. It just does.
Right, right. And that's, again, I think something that this team should be able to counter. We got to see him do it, of course, Whedon, but I think it is something that they should be able to count on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, with, you know, Ben Watson had some concussions and had some injury stuff last year. He's made significant plays throughout his career. His health, some of the tight ends coming back, staying healthy, making plays, threatening the middle of the field with a running game with Trent Richardson will really incorporate that 7-8 man in the box that will give one-on-one coverage outside. And if Brandon could find a guy who he's comfortable with throwing the comebacks, throwing the fades to, if Travis Benjamin's able to show his speed and beat press coverage, it significantly opens up the field and gives you just a lot of opportunities to attack defenses.
Bernie, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you down the line. Happy Fourth to you and your family.
Have a great Fourth.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us as he always does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.